right. Well, it's good to be back here again, and hopefully you've recovered from this morning when the kids were here. So we do appreciate coming here. My wife especially values the assembly here in O'Leary, and it's a real privilege to be here again. We're just going to begin the meeting with prayer, and we'll take a look at a story in the book of Acts. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you today and right now that the offer of salvation is still available. We thank you for the person of Christ that made this possible. It is an honor to be connected with him. It's a privilege to be connected with him, but also it is a delight to know sins forgiven and peace with God. Give help tonight, we would ask. We pray that your word would be opened with clarity and with a sense of the great need that is to be made apparent tonight, the need to know sins forgiven. We thank you and look to you in your son's name. Amen. Now we're going to look at the book of Acts, Acts chapter 16. And it is going to be a familiar story, I don't doubt. But we're going to take a look at the jailer again in the book of Acts, an individual who comes into contact with a need that he has, and he finds out that he is in fact the one in need of deliverance. We're going to look at the book of Acts, chapter 16, and we're going to jump to the story itself, and we'll start at verse 19. So Acts 16, verse 19, if you have followed the story before, when her masters saw that the hope of their gains were gone, they take Paul and Silas, so they draw them to the marketplace, to the rulers, and bring them to the magistrates, and say, "These men, Paul and Silas, being Jews, trouble our city. They're teaching customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude, they rise up against them, tear their clothes, command for them to be beaten, and when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them in prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who having received such a charge, he puts them into the inner prison and makes their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises. Prisoners hear them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors opened, he draws out his sword. He's going to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cries out with a loud voice, "Don't hurt yourself. We're all here." And the jailer, he calls for a light, runs in. He comes trembling, falls down before Paul and Silas, brings them out, and says to them, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And they speak unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. He takes them the same hour of the night, washes their stripes, is baptized, he and all his straightway. When he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Now I want to share with you tonight, I want to look at a pattern that takes place in the book of Acts. And I want you to see that what Luke is doing when he records the story of Paul and Silas is that he is setting up an irony of situation. All right? He is setting up a situation that at immediate perspective would be that Paul and Silas are the ones that are bound. And what you find out at the end of the story is it's actually the jailer that is bound himself. So this is a story that it's a story of irony. It's a story where it's Paul and Silas that are being judged by those around him. And a jailer realizes that one day he is going to be judged himself. It's a story of two men that are put into chains, put into the darkest part of a prison, and a jailer wakes up and finds out that he is in a type of prison all by himself. This is a story of ironies. Now, I want you to, if you remember, actually, not that long ago, about a month ago, a friend of mine, Joe Turkington, and his two sisters, recently the country in Venezuela experienced an earthquake themselves. In fact, two earthquakes, right one after another. And the country now is, and was, it's only been a month, completely devastated, especially up in the northern region around Caracas and some of the neighboring cities. And Sarah, who was just back for a little bit, one of the sisters, her sister Rachel and Joe, my friend Joe, they went up to help out with the work that was going on. And the devastation is to such a degree and was to such a degree that there was no ability to provide the normal emergency services. Not that they really had a lot to work with to begin with, but with everything cut off, communications cut off, roads blocked, buildings in states of disrepair and about to fall and collapse, it really ended up being that emergency services were your next door neighbor, the ones who had a shovel, the ones who could pull rocks off. And day after day, it was bodies and more bodies. And there was, even at the hospital, there was a collapse and the whole children's unit were killed. Bodies and bodies. And just to get some relief from that, and she comes back home for a visit and just to get, as she said, the smell of death out of your nose. That's all it was. Just bodies after body after body. Now, that was an earthquake that took place. I want you to appreciate tonight that in the life of this jailer, God used an earthquake to bring him to the point that the question that he realized is, I need to be saved. And I want you to appreciate this question and this idea, this fact, that God will use and does use earthquakes, not necessarily literal ones like this, but he uses earthquakes in your life and in mine to wake us up. It's one of the ironies of the situation that Paul and Silas find them in. Here were two individuals that had been condemned. They were put in chains, and we read that not only were they in chains, but the jailer puts them into the darkest part of the prison, the most secure place. And they're singing. They're the most free ones there. And the jailer, in contrast, the one who is over the prison, the one who is in the position of authority, the one who is sound asleep, has woken up and realizes his life. It's not singing and praising God that comes from him. It's despair and trembling. And the question comes, because of an earthquake, what do I have to do to be saved? It's been 20 years. I was driving out and I did the math in my head and I did the math again and I was like, it can't be 20 years. And I was working it out and not that math's my strong suit anyway, so you can understand it would take me more than once anyways on a good day. And I realized it's true. I've been saved 20 years. It's incredible. And God used an earthquake in my life the day before I was saved. It wasn't an earthquake like this. It wasn't to the degree that this jailer went through, but I came to an awakening when God reached in and he shook my life, and I realized the night before I was saved, I need to be saved. I need help. And I went to bed that night. I didn't get saved that night, but I went to bed with this on my mind. If I'm going to do anything about the situation that I'm in, if I'm going to get anywheres out of the predicament I am before God, I need his help. Just a few moments earlier, before the earthquake ever took place in the life of Paul and Silas, before it ever took place in the life of a jailer, he was asleep. Think of how many meetings I went through and how many gospel series I went through. And I might not have been physically asleep. My eyes might not have been closed. But I was just as asleep as that jailer was. No concern. No worry. No fear. God had to work an earthquake out in my life to wake me up. Some of you have experienced earthquakes through your life and circumstances have stepped in and perhaps it was a close call and you could have been killed, and there's so many times in my life that I could have ended so much worse. Maybe someone you know has passed away. Schoolmates you went to school with, and they're no longer here. And earthquakes happen in our lives, and they take place, and we are shook, and we are shaken, and we're disturbed, and we consider the thought. And God says, wake up. Wake up. There's a question you need to be asking. There's a question you need to face. What do I have to do to be saved? Now, the circumstance that this jailer finds himself in, he had good reason to tremble. He wasn't faking it when he goes into the prison, and we read that he comes in trembling. He had real reason to be scared. There was a real problem that he had. And it wouldn't necessarily always be death, but the understanding would be that if your prisoner escaped, the judgment determined for them would be the punishment that you would have. So if you're lucky and the prisoner escaped, perhaps he was only going to be there for a matter of days, you would then go in prison. But here he was, he's the keeper of a prison with every type of criminal, and he knows that if they're not there, I fall under the condemnation of each of them. Essentially, their guilt, because I let them escape, the guilt that they have falls on me. And what makes it one of the pictures of irony when we look at the situation that the jailer finds in is that the people that he comes into contact with, Paul and Silas, are there declaring a man who took the place of guilt for others. Willingly. Now see, he wasn't in that situation willingly. He knew that he couldn't deal with the punishment of others on him. I need to be saved. What do I have to do? And they tell him, just rest of the one who came to take guilt for other people. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I found myself at a little Bible study, the beginning of a conference, and for those that were there just a few months ago, you might remember that Sunday morning there was a Bible study. And 20 years ago, there was a Bible study Sunday morning. And the same question that the jailer had, the question that the earthquake caused him to be awakened and to ask, what do I have to do to be saved, is the same question I had. I know where I am. I know where I'm going. I need to be saved. Have you asked yourself that tonight? And if you haven't asked yourself that question tonight, I'm going to suggest that you are no different than the jailer when he was asleep. See, the predicament didn't change. When the earthquake took place, the doors were opened. His predicament didn't change whether or not he was awake. It wouldn't matter. If he woke up the next day having the most delightful sleep that he had ever had in his life, and he wakes up and he hears a knock on the door, and the government is there saying, prisoners escaped out of your prison last night. It didn't matter that he could say, well, I knew nothing about it, I was asleep. He was responsible. Awake or asleep, he was responsible. And so the problem that you have, if you know that you're in your sins, you know that you're going to be judged for sins, you know that to stand before God as a sinner is to be condemned, then whether or not you are awake or asleep does not change the predicament that you're in. It really only just changes whether or not you're aware of it, whether or not you're dealing with it, whether or not you're facing it. And God stops a little jailer with an earthquake, says, wake up. The sad thing about earthquakes is that earthquakes hurt. Earthquakes cause damage. Earthquakes cost lives. Earthquakes are painful. And sometimes God has to work in your life and he has to work in mine. He has to cause your life to shake. And someone passes away. Something in your life goes wrong. There's damage, there's pain, there's sorrow, there's hurt. And God says, wake up. I sat at the back of that gospel or that Bible study asking myself the same question. God had worked in my life the night before. He had shaken my life. He had caused me to wake up. I had been asleep for years. I was no better, no different than the jailer in the story. And I had slept for years through meetings. Not asleep, not my eyes were closed. I looked at the speaker. I sat in the seat. I wasn't hunched over. I wasn't snoring, but inside I was just as asleep as the jailer. No concern about my need. No worry. Until when he stepped in. I woke up the next morning. I sat at the back of that Bible study, and over and over and over and over again, the question came into my mind, what do I have to do to be saved? It doesn't get any simpler than this. What happened to Matthew Russell in 2006? July the 2nd, the back of the little tent, you know what he did? He just believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's amazing. It's absolutely amazing to think that in a moment someone can wake up realize where they are before God, realize that there's a Savior who died for them, and in a moment go away with sins forgiven and peace with God because they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a miracle. To be moving in the direction towards hell, to be moving in the direction of separation from God and all that you love. And in a single realization that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, just rest on that. If he came for sinners, and I'm a sinner, he came for me. And in a moment, no more trembling. They speak unto him the word of the Lord to all and to all that were in their house, in his house. He brings them into his house. He sets meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. You want to know something tonight? If you learned what it was to rest in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'd be rejoicing. To know moment by moment, day by day, that I have no fear of earthquakes in my life ever again. Things may come and things may go. I'm trusting in him. Whatever they be, come what may. My foundation is secure. You know, I sincerely mean this. I hope the Lord doesn't have to use earthquakes in your life. They hurt. But I also mean this. If the Lord has to use an earthquake for you to be saved, maybe so. But they hurt. To be awoken to your need, to realize what you are. Earthquakes hurt. Maybe tonight you would realize, like that jailer, you'll wake up and you'll look out and realize, I have a problem and I need to be saved. What do I have to do to be saved? And they say, just believe. Rest on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved.